Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now. Can you believe it? And that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving Southwest Florida. Also with my friends up in WAEC, Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area on air. And also online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends at WTMR 800 AM up in the New Jersey and Philadelphia area. And what a joy it is just to partner with them as we all come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been with us, you know that my series has been going on for many years now. It's called Portraits of God because Scripture just gives me these vivid portraits of God, and I love to pull them together to go even deeper into those portraits. And the way that we're going, the one that we've been walking through of late, is how the Lord is our deeper joy. He is our deeper joy. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going over to Psalm 92 here in just a moment. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that these messages are archived on my website, markpg.org. That's markpg.org. And you can get these 27-minute broadcasts on all of these portraits of God there. Also on that website at markpg.org, you can find videos with portraits of God, 3-minute videos on that, devotional videos. There are articles, there are quick guides on all kinds of topics, all of them designed to help you hear God. Oh, that's my heart, my friends. And, you know, as is our custom, to make sure we're listening for the heart of God, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, we're very grateful that You give us the opportunity to come to sit at Your feet. Lord, we love to listen for Your heart. And Lord, as we're looking at how You are our deeper joy, especially in the midst of a crazy and angry world that we're living in right now, wow, in so many ways, manifested in so many ways in the political arena and the social arena and the schools and government and even in churches, you know, there's just, oh, a lot of unrest and confusion and frustration and fatigue and grief, dealing with so much. But yet in the midst of it, somehow, some way, You are our deeper joy. So, Lord, I pray You'll open up our eyes and ears and hearts just to receive those deeper truths and discover how we can actually have a deeper joy even when the circumstances around us are extremely challenging. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, like I said, we're going to be continuing our journey in this series. There's 10 takeaways. We've covered 5 of them in the last couple of weeks. We'll get to a couple of more today, number 6 and number 7. For those of you that are note takers, just a quick reminder that we started off by seeing that the Lord is our deeper joy when we, number one, remember that He chose us. Remember that He chose us. It's the mystery of how God's chosen ones in the Old Testament era, the Israel in the New Testament era, as believers somehow, some way, there's this combination of the divine side and yet the human side of free will and salvation, to where the Scripture says that He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen ones, His chosen ones, His chosen ones, with a shoutful, with a joyful shout. That's just amazing to me. Number two, we saw not only does the Lord our deeper joy manifest Himself when we remember that He chose us, but number two, when we explore His gift of salvation, when we restore His gift of salvation. Psalm 51 puts it this way, restore to me the joy of Your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. There's so much to discover there, how with a new bride of Christ, we're transformed into new creations. There's a oneness with Him that's unbelievable. All of that, when you explore it, brings a joy you cannot imagine. Number three was to welcome His morning kindness. Oh, joy comes when we invest our mornings and let him satisfy us in the morning with his loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days, as it says in Psalm 90. And then number four, to bask in his glorious presence. Psalm 21 puts it this way, "For you make me more blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence." And we talked about how to cultivate that sense of his presence every day. And then number five, we look to him for joy and strength. We don't look elsewhere. You know, if you look to this world for your joy and your strength, it's going to disappoint you constantly. But if we look to him, there we'll find joy and strength. Nehemiah 8 puts it this way, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Wow, love that. Okay, so now we come to Psalm 92. The takeaway here is that the Lord, our deeper joy comes when we, number six, savor all his work in our lives. When we savor all his work in our lives. Psalm 92:4 puts it this way, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. Oh, I will sing for joy at the works of your hands." Wow. So let's unpack that. Let me take you on a journey for a few minutes. First of all, for some of you that know your old hymns, there's a classic one that's called Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Well, that's a great song coming from a great truth, how when we do remember the works of God in our life, the ways he's already blessed us, when we really put our mind to it, it's extraordinary and it's surprising what the Lord has done. But I want to take it a step further. It's not just counting your blessings. You can do that, kind of be done with the list and move on. This point number six about the Lord's deeper joy, it will indeed come in the midst of really difficult challenges and circumstances when you savor all his work in your life, when you're not only counting them, but line by line, you're savoring the memories, you're savoring the realities, you're savoring the depth of what God has already done to bless you, even though there are challenges all around. You know, when I walk through this in my life, I think of my family, for example. You know, we have three sons that we were given from above back in the 1980s, and they are all grown now. They found lovely young ladies that love the Lord, and they're all now having children. We have seven grandchildren now, and each of the couples are doing a wonderful job rearing them in the Lord. They have, in fact, it's really interesting because the three boys, of course, are very different from each other. And of course, the three girls are different from each other. And the combinations, too, make them even more different because they become a new oneness there. And so the way they parent differs in some ways, but yet there's an ongoing core that is faithful and true and fruitful as they, like we, did our best to center our lifestyle around the Lord, to make sure that it was the Lord that we were always pointing to and talking with, and not like a threat in any way, but like our deepest and our best friend, our loving Savior, the creator of the universe. All of these portraits that you can get on my website and the previous things, we save it, we pass them on to our kids conversationally, we talk about it, it was natural. They're doing the same with their kids. And that brings me and my wife, Lindy, great joy to see how our family is doing so well because they've made the Lord the center point and the focal point of their lives, as we have tried to do all these years. I rejoice with the friends the Lord has brought into our life. The work of raising up friends for us to connect with, he has just done that for us. The churches he's allowed us to serve in and worship in, the livelihoods he's provided, you know. When I think of the privilege of living in the United States of America, it's an amazing thing. And I'm going to stop there for a moment. Listen, is the United States, is it perfect? Of course not. Is any family perfect? Of course not. Is any individual parent perfect? No. Any kid perfect? No. No one is perfect. Yes, there are messy things that we have to deal with, challenging things, hurtful things, unexpected things, death in the family. One of our daughters-in-law just lost her daddy and stuff. So they're difficult things to deal with. But in the midst of it, the Lord is right there. He is the one who is our deeper joy, even when we're also dealing with grief or frustration or whatever we're dealing with. When I think of our country, there's a lot of frustrations. I mean, I'm seeing how we have just spiraled down as a moral nation. We've just lost it. We've embraced humanism, a man-centered ideology, and all kinds of things have been spawned from that are so harmful instead of a biblical worldview. And so we're seeing a lot of anger, a lot of divisiveness, a lot of corruption and stuff. Well, there's always been sin in the world. There's always been corruption. There's always been bad things. But in the midst of it is the Lord, our refuge, our strength, our joy. And in the midst of it, there are also blessings in addition to those challenges. And when we count them, when we savor them, and when we savor the blessings of God rather than savoring the hurtful things, the wrong things, the injustice, the bitterness that we build up, the anger. See, we're savoring that. We're letting it go over and over and over in our mouth, and that's the taste in our mouth. We have a bitter taste. We have a bitter attitude. We have a bitter heart. We have a bitter life. Spit it out, my friends. Don't savor that stuff. Repent. Say, Lord, of course things are not perfect. Of course things are wrong. Of course things are spawned from sin. That's why we have a Savior. But I'm not going to savor and spend emotional energy and time meditating on those things. I'm going to count my blessings. I'm going to savor them. And I'm going to savor you. Are you getting me? You know, to savor something is to take a bite of your favorite dessert and not just gulp it down. Oh, I'm in a hurry. Let me just gulp down my favorite dessert here. And I need to be out here in about 60 seconds. Gulp, 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 out the door. Did you savor a thing? No. You had the cake, but you didn't get near the enjoyment out of it because you didn't savor each bite. Savor each blessing, my friends. Don't just count them and run out the door. Savor them. And it's a game changer in heart. You'll begin to experience the Lord as your deeper joy. All right. We're going on to number 7 now. Remember, number 1, we said, remember that he chose us. 2, explore his gift of our salvation. 3, welcome his morning kindness. 4, bask in his glorious presence. 5, look to him for joy and strength. 6, savor all his work in your life. Well, here's the 7th way to experience the Lord as your deeper joy. Yearn to praise and sing in his courts. Yeah, I know that might sound a little strange. Yearn to praise and sing in his courts. Do you yearn to praise and sing to the Lord in his courts? A lot of us probably will say, well, honestly, no. God's more of the, you know, king. He's more of the guy that's up there in control. He's the boss. So, you know, we chat, we talk, but I don't think about going to my boss at work and singing. So I don't think about going to my boss in heaven or singing either. Well, okay, so I'm glad we're talking about this, okay? So let me take you over to Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2. Because if you're not yearning to praise and sing in his courts, then you're not experiencing a joy, a deeper joy that you could be experiencing. If you have kind of a dry and bored and kind of a duty-driven relationship with the Lord, there's not much joy in that. Here's the great news. He intends for it to be much deeper than that. He wants you to experience him more personally and intimately, where you will yearn to praise and sing in his courts. You get so excited about who you are with and what he is like. Listen, when your favorite athletic team has a big win or something, man, you're just shouting and saying, yeah, yeah, all right, yeah. And you want to sing the fight song or whatever it is because of a joyful win at the last minute or something like that. It's reflexive. But most of us aren't there. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 2. How lovely are your dwelling places. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Isn't that powerful? Psalm 84, 1 through 2. Let me run it by you again. How lovely are your dwelling places. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Oh, I tell you, my friends, there are you ever gonna have those times when things are just so overwhelming? You just say, can I just get off the merry-go-round for 10 minutes and just get some breathing space? Or you know what? I'm just going to fly off to, you know, some Caribbean island and just hang for a while and get my breath back. Well, in the Lord, in the Spirit, He is that island in the Caribbean. Go and just hang out with Him and just say, first of all, flesh out, vent whatever you need to, but then remember, counting your blessings, savoring those blessings, remembering who He is, that He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Get lost in Him. And the singing and the praising part can begin to swell up in you to the degree you are abiding in His dwelling place, in His presence, in His joy, in His love for you. Now, when I talk about singing and stuff, they're actually, you know, when we think about praise and worship, which is what we're talking about here, in this sense, private praise and worship, yearning to praise and sing in His courts. But the dimension of worship and praise we typically think about is corporate worship and praise. What should it be like? What is it like in your church? How does it differ from other churches? And we've heard about the worship wars over the years. Some people like it this way. Some people like it that way. What does the Bible say about it? What does the Lord yearn for us to do in how we praise and sing unto Him in His courts, whether privately or corporately? Well, over the years, I taught that there were three basic hearts of worship. Think of a triangle, draw that on your page if you're a note taker. At the top is one kind, and then the bottom two corners, another kind. But then, years later, as I was going through some really deep things personally, I went off to a pastor's conference, and the worship and praise people there were doing a wonderful job, but they weren't fitting the model I had. There was something even deeper about the way they were leading us that I hadn't spotted before, and 2 days in, and asking the Lord about it, it dawned on me, this is the heart of worship. There is a fourth one that actually has profound impact on the other three. And I want to unpack that for you here. Four types of worship that can be and should be a hallmark of your time with the Lord. And they're very different from each other. And yet, in your times of private worship, in your times of corporate worship, it can be a pathway to experiencing Him as your deeper joy, especially when you're going through really hard times, that this is just a gift from above. So here we go. So you got your triangle going there. At the top, put a little dot of your triangle and write majestic worship. Majestic worship. This is out of Isaiah chapter 6, where it says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. So this is our clue. He is our King. We're going to see how in this model, we worship Him as our King at the top of this pinnacle. Then we're going to worship Him as our victor or the winner or the general. Then we're going to worship Him as our dad or daddy. And then we're going to worship Him as our everything, our healer. So that's where we're going. We're starting here, majestic worship. He is our King. We worship the Lord as our King. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called out to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. My friends, this is majestic worship. These are those great anthems and songs unto the Lord. A mighty fortress is our God, and all hail the power of Jesus' name. And the chorus is later like majesty and all, and all the current stuff that really worships him as the king. Oh, we're servants, and we are grateful to be in the court of the king worshiping him. Now, that's one type of the four. Now, at the bottom left corner, let's write in celebrative worship. We had majestic worship at the top. He is our king. And celebrative worship, he is our victor. Because, let me give you a quick illustration of Scripture. Remember when the Scripture said that David came in as a conquering general in that season in the history of Israel, you know, and so the people were singing that David had slain 10,000. You know, Saul, the predecessor, he slayed 1,000, but David 10,000. I mean, he was just unbridled ticker tape parade kind of a thing, celebrating the coming, conquering general and stuff. It's worship. It's celebrative praise. Psalm 149 puts it this way: Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. By the way, there should be new songs coming out, not just the old hymns. It's a both and, not an either or. And his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. And let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them praise to him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. And there it is. It's that vibrant, high-energy worship style, that hand clapping and raising and full band and all those kinds of things. There's a place for that. But it's very different from majestic worship. Is it better? No. But it is that added dimension. Which is better? Don't think of it that way. These are all valid expressions of praise and song. We can go now to an even more divergent type of worship that's just as legitimate. It's called intimate worship. We worship the Lord as our daddy. We're his children. There's an intimacy there. Romans 8:15 puts it this way: For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. By the way, if you overemphasize majestic worship, he is our king, and the fear of the Lord, which is a legitimate idea, an awesome respect of him, if it's only there, there's not an intimacy. He's the distant God, ruler, up on stage. He's unreachable, untouchable. It's sometimes it's that way, but sometimes you're the kid in the throne room that runs and jumps on your daddy's lap, who happens to be the king. He gives you a big hug. You hug him back. You giggle together. That's an intimacy. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but ye have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. Isn't that powerful? So you can worship the Lord intimacy. These are those gentle, calm, soothing love songs unto the Lord. That's a legitimate form of worship. Those are the three. I taught for a long time until I went through a very heavy, difficult time in my life. And the people leading worship at that special pastor's conference led us, and what I discovered was broken worship. When we're at the end of our rope, we're just overwhelmed, and we begin to get a glimpse of the Lord as he is our everything, including healer. When you are that positively broken in the presence of the Lord, seeing he's the infinite God of the ages who loves you more than you can possibly imagine. We're but a speck in the universe and a speck of time in the sea of eternity. He is our everything. Oh, what a joy to be a servant in the court of the Lord. I don't want to be king. He's the king. He's the healer. He's my everything. And my friend, when that grips you, Majestic becomes more majestic worship. Celebrated becomes more celebrative worship. Intimate worship becomes more intimate. It just opens up a whole new world of experiencing God and His deeper joy, because He is our deeper joy. Oh, my friend, I pray that you will cultivate a heart that yearns to praise and sing in His courts, especially when you're finding some difficult circumstances right now. You just want to run and hide somewhere, or run away, or be in denial, or put your head in the sand, or just quit, or whatever, throw in the towel. No, no, no. All that ache, transform it into a yearning to just stagger or stumble or crawl into His courts and start remembering all the blessings and savor those. And maybe that's the time for an intimate worship song or a majestic worship song or even a celebrative or a broken one. Oh, He is our deeper joy. He knows and holds our every moment. He calms the raging sea. He walks with me through fire. He heals all my disease, and I will trust in you. I believe that you're my healer, O Lord. Classic new song. Well, Lord, we do want to cultivate that spirit of wanting to come and just worship and sing and praise you in your courts. And you, the deeper joy, will show up in a powerful way. Thank you, Lord, for being the Father, the King, the Daddy, the Victor, our everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Till next time, worship the Lord as deep as you can.